Andrew, who's very mechanical, is up here playing with this music stand, which is a grand excitement. And I was about to give Laura a word, and then I thought, I just need to relieve Brad. And because I asked him last minute to watch the kids. Megan's up there nursing David. But then I relieved Brad, and I went over there. I was like, oh, man, I still would like to give that word. And Joshua leans over and says, I feel like we could just give a lot of prophetic words right now. Do you feel that? I said, yeah, I do feel like that. So anyway, that's what we'll do right now. Some of you guys are real familiar with the prophetic. I know that. Some of you are kind of new to it. It's a gift. 1 Corinthians 14 says that we're actually supposed to operate in it. We're supposed to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that we would prophesy. Because when you prophesy, you share God's heart. You share God's heart with someone else. It's a very powerful thing. Now, all of the scripture is God-breathed and will have a prophetic effect in your life, but sometimes there's specific things the Lord wants to call out in people. So, anyway, that's what we'll do today. Laura, very simple word. I feel like the Lord's developing more than just a child in you. I think that the simple encouragement is to an expectancy about what he's wanting to birth spiritually in you this season. I've got a little bit of a sense of what it is more than that, but I'll just leave it at that. There should be the excitement that you're feeling about what's about to be released through you. God's wanting to release other things and develop and release other things through you as well.
I'd like to have Derek and Aaron come forward, if that's okay. Can you guys quickly come just for a second? The Lord's placed you guys on my heart, and I mean, I think we have all benefited from. Here, just stand right here. From having you guys as part of our family, and you guys are such an amazing asset. And the things that we do with our assets are we protect them. We protect them with everything we have because they are our most prized possession. And I feel very strongly that the Lord is declaring over you guys a season of rest, of prosperity, of joy and peace. And I think it's already been kicked off maybe a week or two ago. And it's just going to continue, and it's going to grow exponentially. And the picture I had a few weeks ago, if I could just have maybe... We'll have Peter, Brad, and myself, and Joshua. And can we just stand around them, but facing away from them? Okay? And the picture is this. I feel like the Lord is calling our church to protect them through our prayers and everything that we have within us, because we're protecting our asset. And the picture is symbolic for you guys, is that we have your back. Okay? And so if we were to stand here like on the defense, right? This is what it looks like, is we are defending Derek and Aaron. And so that's the picture. Real simple, but it's for all of us to see. And we're just going to lay hands on you guys and declare that. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you that you have ordained over Derek and Aaron and Margo a season of rest, of prosperity, of joy, and peace. And we also declare over them stillness in their thoughts, their thinking, stillness to the stormy seas. Mm-hmm. And I declare rest over you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I command also the assignment that has been... brought against you to seize now in Jesus' name. And we claim right now victory in abundance. There's abundance coming over here in Jesus.
Yeah, in this season, you're going to do less and get more. And we speak particularly, there's going to be no more, you won't be bound by time. I know that seems nonsensical, but God works way beyond our senses. So just want to encourage you to press in to the freedom of time, the freedom the Lord has for you as it relates to time, because I believe in this season you're going to do less and actually get more.
There's a word that the Lord spoke over you that you know what it is that you've been running so fast. He wants you to go back and absorb that word in this season.
Since I have, there's going to be a little bit of a difference, though, for the rest, for the how each of you enter into it. Derek, I see actually the rest being a bit counterintuitive in that it's going to involve you taking new land. Mm-hmm. It's going to involve you, you'd think in a rest is not taking land, but I feel like the rest for you is actually going to be taking a new measure of land. Mm-hmm. And so we just speak just a release over you, Derek. Mm-hmm. Just in taking new land, taking new territory, just a release in Jesus' name that you would not grow weary in taking new land, but you would find rest, you would find peace while taking new land. Thank you, Jesus. And I feel actually the opposite for you, Aaron. I feel that there is not the requirement for you to find the new land. You do not have to carve the you know, the niche and find the way and press through. I really see you as actually there's going to be this beautiful kind of almost cycling kind of analogy where you're going to be drafting off of Derek, and it's just going to be a real beautiful picture, and there's going to be a rest that you didn't even know you needed that's just going to begin to come as a result of kind of drafting in that bicyclist kind of analogy. And so just bless you in the name of Jesus, Aaron. Bless you to be able to rest and not feel just all the leadership that you have, all the gifting, that it would not be a burden, but there'd be a grace, a new measure of grace upon the gifting, upon the leadership, a new measure of grace that would allow you to just be at rest, even yes, while Lord. Flowing in the gift, while yes, flowing Lord. In the leadership.
Yes, just Lord. Yes,
just
Lord.
Bless you, Aaron. Bless you, Aaron. Thank you, Jesus.
It's interesting you just said the word increase, and that's exactly the word I had. That's pretty much all I got was the word increase, but the sense of it is not necessarily material things, even though that's certainly the will of the Lord as well. But what I'm getting right now is just your ability to flow in the Spirit when worshiping.
Yes.
That there's literally an increase that's going to happen as of now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a now word. Amen.
I had the word dance for you, Derek, and I feel like it's the exact same thing. There's a joyful sort of movement where things just flow. So I just want to confirm that.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
One thing, I'm going to kind of embarrass Aaron a little bit with this, but I want to just say she gave me a prophetic word about two months ago. And I read it every morning. So I read it every single morning, literally every morning. And I say that just to say this. If Aaron gives you, if she takes the time to write a little word for you, put it in your pocket in order to take it home and put it somewhere special that you can read it and read it and read it. I just want to say that there's a, you know, when she has that unction on her to share something with you, maybe it's not written, maybe it's just, but pay attention to it and do something with it because it's bearing a lot of fruit over the last, well, it was in January, so however many months that is. Yeah, so, yeah.
This word's for Lady, and I believe also for Darius, but I'm going to direct it particularly to Lady. You have a special anointing. It's actually for both of you. I was feeling it was for both of you. Now I feel it for sure. You guys have a special anointing to stir up passion in the body of Christ. To stir up passion in the body of Christ. I've learned as the Lord showed me more clearly where my gift is. A lot of times a baseball hitter can hit lots of pitches that are thrown to them, but if someone throws the pitch just in a certain spot, they like hit a home run every time. And that spot for you guys is stirring up, one of those spots for you guys is stirring up passion, literally passion for our Savior in the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you guys to look for those opportunities and be sensitive to those opportunities as God presents them. And as you start finding yourself in conversations with people, you're going to be like, here it goes again. Here it goes again. And people will walk away on fire for the Lord in a way that they were not when they ran into you. So stir up that passion. It's going to be natural for you.
I actually don't know you, obviously, either of you very well at all, but what I sense is something about your guys' marriage, and specifically that what comes easy to you doesn't come easy to most, and to not, one, take it for granted, but two, is I believe it's that there's a calling on you as it relates to that, and what may come easy to you, the Lord's going to begin teaching you principles so that you can impart them, so you're going to model it. Your marriage is a model, and you're going to continue to model, but you're actually going to learn, start learning principles and key wisdom that you can give to other people who it's more of a struggle. And so I just feel like the Lord's wanting to really commission you, and it's going to be challenging. It's going to be a blessing, but it's also going to be very challenging. It's going to be taxing. It's going to pull on you because there's going to be a weight that you're going to take on, and you're going to choose to take it on by helping other marriages that are struggling. And maybe not, you know, going to end in divorce necessarily, but they're just not thriving because they don't have that grace for whatever reason. I don't even know what it is, but I believe there's a grace upon the two of you. But the call is to not just allow it to be a grace, really to be diligent. Well, what is it, Lord? What are the principles that we practice naturally that really produce a blessed marriage?
Is there anyone here, this may be several people, that you feel like you've just been running yourself ragged? And it's like life is just too much right now. Is there anyone? Raise, you can stand. Man, that's amazing. Everyone's just full of rest and peace. And okay. Anyone? Lois? In the back. If you feel like you just need more of the Lord right now, just stand up. And because I feel like there's right now is your time. So just receive, Holy Spirit. We just thank you that this is all about receiving and delivering on Jesus' promise that all that the Father has, that you are going to declare it to us. And we just speak that peace right now and that rest right now in this season. We declare peace. Holy Spirit, just right now, more. Just more. Increase right now. I just declare over you peace and rest.
Kara, I just see a, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a shell, and it's really thin, and it's really weak, but it's a shell. But you haven't known that there's this kind of the shell all around you, and I just feel like the Lord wants to completely break that shell off of you. And so, and I believe it's connected to something specific that He'll reveal. So, Father, I just pray that you would release Kara in the name of Jesus. Whatever that kind of shell that she thought was actually part of her really is a shell, and Lord, you want to completely set her free from it. So Lord, release that grace over Kara. Set her free in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Kara, when Joshua said that, I almost had this thought of you hosting your own personality TV show. I don't know that that's the exact calling, although it could be, but I believe the Lord's given you such an effervescent personality, and that probably many times you've known that you've had more sort of character on the inside of you than there might be a thought, at least, that there might be a willingness to receive it. But people get just jazzed when they watch some of these personalities on TV because it's so fun to see someone with such a big personality. So anyway, I just had a thought of you as that, so as an encouragement. Sherry, I had something for you. I love fighter jets. So it's interesting. Fighter jets are so interesting because there's a specificity to the things that they take out. And there's a real sort of, you know, there's a machismo-ness to a fighter jet, too. But I had a picture of you as a different sort of version of a fighter jet, because as beautiful as a fighter jet can be as it flies and does 7G corners and goes 1,500 miles an hour, if you've ever watched a swallow, the bird, a swallow fly, a fighter jet has nothing on a swallow. Man, those things are amazing how they can turn. It's literally like they can stop in midair and do a 360, and they're unbelievably adept in the air. And I had the sense that was a representation of you as an intercessor, that you would have a pinpoint accuracy in intercepting things that were meant to cause trouble for people in the body of Christ. And I specifically had a vision of you sitting on a beach with your feet up doing this intercessory work, so much so that I almost heard you say the phrase, God, how can I be an intercessor? I'm just not that serious. And I felt like the Lord said, that's the exact type I want. Where you can just be enjoying the Lord, but you know it. And I actually realized it's like, oh yeah, Sherry and I have talked about this before, but I forgot about it. But you, when you have those random thoughts about people, just take yourself seriously in the sense that you are called and commissioned to do that work. So when you have that thought, just say, Lord, what am I to do with this? And it's that simple. While your feet are up on the beach, you know, and enjoying a cold drink. But you can address those things in the Spirit, because I believe the Lord's given you an anointing to know what's going on in the Spirit and to step in and just take care of business and get back to relaxing.
And I just, on that, I just feel like God wants you to trust your gut. That you're just to start trusting your gut. When you get a sense of something, when you to start trusting it and stop doubting it. Trust your gut and go with it. And sometimes it's going to be prayer, like he's saying. Sometimes it's going to be saying something to somebody. Sometimes it's going to be going and doing something, but it's time. I mean, this is real clear. This is real clear. It's time for you to start trusting your gut and stop doubting yourself.
The young lady with the yellow scarf, what's her name? Sarah, would you be willing to stand up for a second? The Father has a deep affection for you. And I just have this picture of the Father in holding you in a bear hug. And he's calling you his beautiful, precious jewel, his princess. And for the task that he has, he's picking you first, never last. You're not the last one picked. You're the first one picked. And Sarah, he loves you. He is full of compassion. And his love burns jealously for you. And he just, if you would be willing right now just to close your eyes and just hold out your hands, he just wants to minister to you right now. Thank you, Father. Just minister your love right now all over Sarah. Just envelop her in your arms and wrap her tightly. Thank you that the plans, the vision you have for her is more than she could ever imagine, and it has to do with walking hand in hand with you in love all the way through that. You have nothing to fear, Sarah. You have nothing to fear. Just cover her right now in all of your love. Just pour it out. Pour it out.
About 5 minutes ago, the Lord gave me a word for you, and the word was grace, and it just didn't seem like enough to go with, so I wasn't sure what to do with it, so I've just been sitting here listening to the Lord, and years ago, and I got it, years ago, the Lord showed me in my business that there's a way to do business in the natural, and there's a way to do the business in the supernatural, and he said to me one day, he said, if you will stay here and obey me, I will show you how to run your business supernaturally. And my business went from bankruptcy, a point of bankruptcy, to one of the highest producers in the United States in 11 months. Ended up getting written up in magazines, etc. I mean, it was off the charts. And I didn't do it. It was totally the Lord. But what I did do was press into him to hear his ways, right? And he began to show me. And I felt like the Lord was saying to you that there's a grace for your business that he wants you to press into more, to not just look for the normal way this business is run. This is how you do this business. The Lord is saying, no, there's a grace I want you to tap into that will supersede the natural ways of doing your business. And that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in particular were coming to mind. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I know you trust in the Lord, but I feel like the Lord is saying, no, press into that. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Press into him in every area. Lord, I know this is the way we normally do this, but I'm asking you, how should I do this? Give me direction. Give me ideas for my business. How should I run my business? And be open, like have your mind just wide open for crazy stuff. And be ready for just, it's going to be, it's a different paradigm. You know, it's entirely different the way the Lord does things. So there's a grace for your business, and you have to press into it. You have to say, Lord, here I am. And he's going to begin to show you ways to run your business no one does in your industry. There it is. Praise him. Wow, that's awesome. Yes. That's a good word right there. I wish I had said the other part. I was just out of your personal privacy. I wasn't saying it. What I felt like it was the Lord was saying that you're stressing and that he has a grace for you, and that's why you're stressing, because you're not tapping into what he actually has for you to make it easy. And that's the issue. So, amen.
Kate, I just wanted to add on top of that. I just, when I was listening to Brad, I just felt real clear. The Lord just wanted to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And so specifically that he just really wants you to get a hold of that. That's how he feels about you right now.
Yes, amen.
Not in 2 years, not in 10 years,
amen.
Not in 20 years,
totally.
But right now. And there's a few places in the Gospels where the Father is speaking to the Son. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you're to be diligent to really press into that verse and really hear the Father say, not son, but daughter. You are my daughter.
Yes.
And with you, I am well pleased. And I just feel like it is so strong. God wants to
have the same thing.
Communicate
totally.
Over and over until you just believe it. I mean, it's not like you're trying to, it's going to take time to believe it, but you're going to come, if you'll endeavor, and you lean into just meditating and thinking and asking God to help you believe it, you're going to come into a place where you're just going to believe that the Father is pleased with you.
Aaron, I had a word for you. God sees you as a very successful professional. A very successful professional. And then that word professional started ringing in my, sort of in my head. And people will profess something that they believe with their mouth. And I believe that's your key. I feel like this is a season for you to have declarations over your professional career, because the Lord sees you as incredibly professional. And so each of your mornings is going to need to start, if it's not already, with, thank you, Father, you've made me for success. I thank you, Father, I know how to have hard conversations and get awesome results. I thank you, Father, I've got creative business ideas. I thank you, Father, I'm afraid of no man, but I bring your kingdom into every situation. And so these are going to be declarations that you start crafting with the Lord and speaking those over your mornings, because you're going to be a very successful professional, and it's going to come through what you profess.
And I just felt like there's a little adjustment that the Lord wants to make for you when you're encountering difficulty or objections or mountains, whatever they are, that your initial assumption is that you're doing something wrong, that you've done something wrong, and you just need to flush that, and you just need to see it for what it is, whatever the problem or the resistance or the difficulty or the objection is, and just make adjustments in your approach or the business. But you need to stop thinking you're like, oh, I'm no, that's normal and that's okay, and learn and grow and move through it, move forward. But there's something about just changing the way you see objections and difficulty and trial. Just reorient. It's not something wrong with you or in you, although you may need to adjust what you do.
I'm going to layer just one more piece on that, because I thought that sounded really right in here. There's a verse for you that's specifically, it's not just about circumstantial issues, but it's actually relational issues that do develop in business. And it's Psalms 37, verse 1, powerful revelation. It says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. And so you're such a conscientious guy that it's easy to, because I am too, it's easy to assume that we're in the wrong, but you're going to start knowing that light is light and light is what's in you, and if there's darkness, you're just going to go ahead and spread that darkness out of there, okay? So don't fret yourself. Don't look, what Joshua's saying, there's going to be some situations where God's training you actually not to look inward. Just say, hey, that's an issue. Obviously, it's an issue. What am I called to do about it? And you're not going to fret yourself, because if you fret yourself, you'll take the solution out of the situation. You're the solution. The Spirit of God on the inside of you is the solution. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Just go ahead and address stuff.
All right, one more layer. So part of this process, and this isn't something unique to you. I mean, I think men over the whole world need this, but he's making you into a man. Not a man from an age standpoint or biology standpoint, whatever you call that. He's making you into a man. And so part of these difficulties and objections is part of learning how to be a man. And so as a man stands in the face of a trial or a difficulty and stands there and is strong, doesn't doubt himself, doesn't shrink back, just stands there and does what's needed. And so you're being strengthened as a man. You're being trained and taught and shown the things that weren't shown to you and given to you. When you needed them to be given to you, they're being given to you now. And it may not look the way you thought it would look, but it's being given to you. God's training you. He's teaching you. He's equipping you. And it's through these difficulties and these struggles and these strains, you're learning to stand.
That's good. And you've got an encourager right over here. Do you hear Guy? Seriously, you need to connect with Guy, not just because I heard him saying that's right there, which I believe is by the Spirit, but there's also another element. I've talked with Guy enough to know he's got a gift around this specific area as an encourager, and it just hit me more clearly than ever, Guy. You are to coach men. Now, and Erica knows she's to coach women.
Amen.
And that you guys actually have a ministry where, Guy, you know that there's something about being a man, and Erica knows there's something about being a woman. And how to grow up. And I just want to encourage you, I want to encourage both of you to step into that. Start calling out to the Lord. God, I know that you've called us to train men and women, to be men and women. And he's going to give you opportunity to train men and women, to be men and women. It's going to be powerful. There's going to be joy that comes from men and women being men and women. And you guys have that calling on your lives to train men and women to be men and women.
And I just think there's sometimes a declarative word that breaks something off. And I think I just see a lid that's been over the two of you as it relates to this. And so in the name of Jesus, I just pray removing of that lid right now. Whatever it's been, don't even worry about it. We just speak to it in the name of Jesus, and we say, lid, be removed. And Father, we just ask for just an elevation of this precious man and woman. Just elevate them, raise them up. And Erica, right? And Erica, I don't know why, but I just hear the verse, sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I just want to just speak that over you, that sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And your heritage is joy and not sorrow. It's joy and not sorrow.
Right here. What's that?
You were in a Christian, the two of you were in a Christian culture before. That was afraid of what was coming out of you and so told you that it wasn't of God. And you stopped trusting the God that's in you. And you started deciding that other people have giftings and you don't. That other people have authority giftings and you don't. And the Lord is calling you to trust the God that is in you. It's going to freak you out how easy it is. Like, the stuff that we're talking about that's supposed to come out of you is going to be easy because that's what a gifting is. It needs to be honed, obviously. It needs to be treated with wisdom. But it isn't something you have to, like, work to get to come out of you. It's actually something that you have to work to trust the Lord that this risk you're taking is actually from him. Okay? So we break that. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is in you. You have authority. You have to use that authority in order to effectively minister with the gift that he's giving you. So we just release you. We release you, and we also just call you that there's people here that are so equipped to mentor you and help you figure out how to do it wisely. Yeah? And there are arenas that you'll be able to step out safely without feeling like you're taking too big of a risk, you know? So, do it.
I also want to encourage you both just to keep a clean slate towards other people. Keep a pure heart, always forgiving. Just immediately, don't let it fester, even overnight. Just keep it clean, keep it pure, and just it's a continuing of just forgiving and releasing, and you're gonna receive just joy in exchange for that. It's gonna be joy, and that's a great payoff. Yeah. Anyone else?
I have something. There we go. Brian, I felt the Lord just said that he is he has a pleasure in you and in your strength, that you have a strength that is pleasing to the Lord, and that your strength is your believing in him and in his goodness. Your believing in his goodness brings great pleasure to him. And that I saw it was like a rod running through you, just a strong backbone in you, and that strength is your belief in his goodness, and that it's so pleasing to him that he wants to increase that strength, but it's not going to be anything that you do. It's just a supernatural increase. You're going to recognize a strength in you and your belief in him and in his goodness, and your faith will just increase with that strength, because that's where our faith comes from, is knowing that he's good. And that the Lord is just going to increase that strength in you. So just, you don't have to labor for it. You are just going to recognize it. There's going to be just a sudden like, man, God is good. I mean, it's going to be beyond where it's been. There's going to be a strength. And it's going to, I don't understand the total connection, although now it kind of makes sense as I just said that. It's going to bleed into your entire family, into your marriage, into the raising of your children. That strength is going to strengthen the entire family. It's going to make all of them ride in a higher place in their walk with the Lord because of your strength. And I don't know if you guys have anything, because if not, I've got someone else I've got a word for. But if you guys have something for Brian, then.
So Brian, I remember maybe it was 2, 3, 4 years ago, you were just stepping into this believing God in the financial area, and some quick things happened. Do you remember that you were sharing with me, and it was... Do you remember what I'm talking about, Gary Cassie and all? Okay. I just feel like that was an experience that's supposed to not be a blip on the map, but it's supposed to be normative. And so I just feel like the Lord wants to just say, that was fun doing that with you, but let's make that normal, you know?
That's good. Amen.
I had a picture of a graph, and the goodness of God, like Brad is saying, is a certain slope of a line on the graph. And Joshua's word is it's not supposed to be a dotted or segmented line, but it's going to be a line that becomes continuous.
Yeah.
Because your whole family is going to ride on that plane, like Brad was saying. It's a continual plane, a continual plane. So the Lord's saying connect the dots. He wants to connect the dots in this season where it becomes continual. I believe yes. There needs to be a holy unrest in you to not see the goodness of God in the land of the living every day. Like, you need to wake up in the morning and say, God, I can't even wait to see what you do today. And
amen.
Yes, process. Yes, so it's not every day is it looks like the home run, but you see the pieces all coming together, and there's going to be a continual every day. God, I can't even wait to see what you do today. This is going to be awesome.
Amen. When we believe in God's goodness, he wants to show you that you're right.
That's good. That'll preach.
Amen. Go ahead.
Did you
hear that? No.
Sure.
Someone else, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is it Jacob? Is that right, Jacob? Okay. Have you ever watched LeBron James play ball? Does it seem like he's having fun when he plays? Why do you think he has fun when he plays? Because he's good at it.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly the answer I was going for. the Lord is going to be showing you, Jacob, in the next 3 to 5 years of your life, what you're really good at. Do you know that the reason that LeBron's having so much fun is because he's doing something that he's literally made for? Isn't he? It's like, like when basketball was invented, God was probably thinking, yep, LeBron James is going to enjoy that a lot. Now, one of the things that happens, though, for young people in our culture, because we get to watch LeBron on TV, we think that if I want to have fun like that, that's my thing to do. Now, you might be made to play basketball like that, but God has a very specific thing that he's made you for, Jacob, and when you find what that thing is, it will be unbelievable how much fun you have. Everybody around you that witnesses you in that area, Jacob, is going to be like, he's like LeBron James for this. So he's made you for a this. Now, interestingly, you know that Jacob wrestled with God, probably, your namesake. And you actually, what you can do is you can actually pray with God. You should be talking with God. You can wrestle with him. God, how'd you make me? What'd you make me for? What am I called to? How have you made me perfectly? What's the exact fit for me? I want to find it, Lord. I want to know it. And here's what's going to happen, Jacob. All of your other peers, most all of them, unfortunately, they'll just kind of go through life. But here, 3 or 5 years later, people are going to be saying, how did this kid find what he was called for so early in his life? And it's because you will have been wrestling with God about it for the last multiple years. Now, another resource is going to be your mom, because I've found in my life, nobody knows me better than my mom. Because your mom saw you when you were 2 and how you played with certain things and the sorts of things that you like to do and stuff like that. So it'd even be good to talk with your mom about it. But I want to encourage you, God's made you for a very particular thing, and you're going to be a superstar.
So Jacob, before he was saying anything, so several minutes ago, I was like, okay, got to call Jacob. I didn't know your name, but got to call Jacob out. And this is what I felt like the Lord was saying, is there's a hidden talent in you that's going to be up to you. It's a gift, but it's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you to invest in it. It's going to be up to you to find out clarity on what it is and why it's there. But there's something in you that he wants you to mine. He wants you to dig. And he wants you to be faithful with it. So just see that as confirmation. I'm going to say one more, because I actually have a baseball team I'm coaching here in 15 minutes. So I'm going to literally give this word and walk out the door here. But so Roger, this is a very strange word, but I feel very confident that it's going to mean something. Maybe not now, but it will. I see you as a backseat driver. And I see, and I'm not, and I don't think this has anything to do with your marriage. I think it has to do with big picture life. So I see you as a backseat driver. And what's great about backseat drivers is often they can see things better than other people. What's bad about a backseat driver is they have actually no control about where the car actually is going. So I see you, there's a backseat driving is what I see. And what I see you doing is you have to tell the driver, again, this is all figurative, but you have to tell the driver to stop, because you have to get out. And it's time for you to get into the driver's seat. And so I don't know if that's career. I don't know what all that's about. But it's a radical thing. I feel like there's this radical. You've been in the back seat, and not even. And this isn't a corrective word, but you've been in the back seat, and now he's calling you to stop the car, get out of the car, which it speaks of change, which speaks of there's a lot of things that are going to have to happen for that to happen. And you're going to be getting into the driver's seat. So.
Sam and Kelly, the Lord can't wait for your marriage. He has been waiting a long time for this. And he says, in righteousness, your marriage will be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Your marriage will be a life force for the community that you're a part of. And as soon as that marriage happens, it is a life force. There is the life of the Father is exploding out of your marriage, just breathing life into everyone around you, just because they're in proximity to you guys. And you, your marriage will be an example that other people will base their marriages off of. And we just, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for breathing life into them. And
yes, Lord.
We are so proud of you. We are so proud of you. We really are. And we just bless you with everything that we have. The Father is just emptying storehouses of heaven reserved for you, just over your life, over your marriage. No weapon fashioned against you will succeed. You will confute every tongue that rises against your judgment. They have nothing to say.
Sam, the Lord says the reason why your marriage is going to be so blessed. He gave me this about 10 minutes ago. I've been fighting, crying the whole time. Is because, and I don't even understand, because it says that he shed his love abroad in our hearts already, but he says because he's given you his heart to love Kelly. That he's going to give you a love that it's not going to be because your love is so great that your marriage soars, but because the Lord has given you his heart for Kelly. And there will be just a supernatural love throughout the life of your marriage because of it. He's blessing you with his heart to love. It's a supernatural love, and it's awesome. Not something you need to strive for. The Lord's just giving it to you. Amen. Amen.
Hi. I didn't hear the end of that. I was too busy. Anyway, I was laughing. Kelly, your hair is going to get to be let down in this season. And I just feel like you know that you've kind of like found, you know, your heart sort of found a place of rest in Sam, but I don't think the Lord's saying you don't know the half of it. And I think you're just going to be pinching yourself 6 months from now thinking, my God, this is great. You know, and you guys are going to have a continual discovery of how perfectly the Lord's made you to be together. And you're just going to find that your hair just kind of, so to speak, just continues to be let down more and more. And you're just like more and more at home in the most beautiful of ways. It's going to be such a fit. Lois, I had a word for you before. I don't have much on it, but the word stately. And I believe the Lord's going to, I think the perception I had is that it's something that you know in your heart about how the Lord's spoken to you, about how he's made you to operate in a stately manner. In the world, when it comes from people, that sort of sense, it usually is actually pride, but it's not with you. It's a you know who you are in Christ, and there's a stateliness that comes with that, a royalty, a sense of royalty. It's a humble thing, but it's a stately thing. And I just believe with it, I feel like the reason the Lord's bringing it up, I feel like he's going to give you some platforms, some new sorts of platforms that in the past maybe you thought, I'm not supposed to be on that platform, but stately people are supposed to be on a platform. Columns of marble are put on a pedestal. So I just want to encourage you with that word, stately.
I think also throughout this whole time, you've probably been bearing witness to a lot of the words that we've shared with other people because of the gifting that's in you. And I just wanted to affirm that in you, the gifting of the prophetic. It manifests differently in all of us, and we all have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit, to prophesy. And the Lord's calling you to a higher level in that. And your season is coming where he's going to release you in obedience. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. That would be lovely. And just being faithful and humble to the gifting that he's placed in you that's going to be released. It's kind of like, in the same sense, what Peter shared with Jacob. that you've been called for a specific purpose. And you're going to know exactly when that sweet spot happens, because it's just so overwhelming with just peace and joy and life. And I just wanted to share that. Yeah. You know it. Yeah. Sarah, I've seen this quality in you for a number of years, or the couple years that you've come here. I've noticed it right away, and I think I can pick it up a little bit because Megan has this. Her friends used to... British Sarah. Oh, sorry. What are they?
Your name is Sarah as well,
right? Oh, sorry. Haven't known you for a couple years. Her friends used to call her Mighty Mouse. There's a perception sometimes that leadership is very vocal. Someone like me would add to that perception because I'm an external processor. But the Lord said he's put an awfully quiet steel on the inside of you. There's a depth to your relationship with him that's going to be a plumb line to many.
Amen.
It's really as much about your presence as it is about your words. So you're going to find the Lord's going to position people to be in your presence and take note when he does. And it just seems like this person hangs about me a little bit right now in this season. And I think you're going to be surprised the sort of people it is. It'll be 20-something girls, but it might be other people too. But the people will hang around about you, and you might just listen a lot, but it'll draw things out of them, and then there might just be one word that you say, or just your facial expression. And it'll actually be corrective, it'll be directive, and it'll help sculpt them and disciple them. And so it's an awfully quiet steel. There's steel inside of you. You've got a solidness in you in the Lord that he's going to use mightily, but it doesn't need to look like someone else who's more vocal or something else like that. He really likes it how it is in you. What was your name?
Judd.
The world is going to know your name. It'll be written in the Hall of Fame. There's a song about that. Yeah. Innovation, success in business is just a path, some of the ideas that the Lord has for you. Consultation, it's just success. Everything you're going to touch is going to turn to gold eventually. Yeah. But I just see that innovation in business, or there's something to do with that innovation, and it's going to be written in history books.
And now this is sounding kind of similar. I think Mark said something about this, but again, and before I remembered what Mark had said about this one part, it popped into my heart, so I'll encourage you again. Find mentors in this season. Seek the Lord. Literally ask God, show me mentors. Show me mentors. Show me mentors. There's just so many different tiers of people in terms of their experience and things. The Lord's wanting to position you with people that have more experience than you in certain tiers. And I think Mark said he'll do it supernaturally. He'll do it strategically. There'll be a grace on it to have the mentor, but you got to ask. And there's a tendency, having more recently been a little bit younger, there's a tendency to not really want mentorship when you're young. I can't speak for you, but just young people tend to not really want mentorship. They say that it sounds nice, but they don't want it. But you can't live without it. And you won't be able to grow into the places God has for you unless you get grafted into an established rootstock. And so you can be a new vine, but if you get put into an established rootstock, the world will see the beauty of what you were called to produce, what you were created to produce, but it'll see it with a depth that only comes with years. So get grafted in. Find people to get grafted in with. Ask the Lord. That's how you'll find people. Show me God. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want mentorship.
Jess, I looked at you and I saw a picture, and it was the picture of the Lord's large hand and a beautiful gem in his hand, and that gem is you, and just his heart that you are precious to him. It was just that simple, and I don't even want to try and add to it. It was just so beautiful. But you are precious to the Lord. You are a gem in his hand. When he looks at you, he looks at you with pleasure. Amen. You are so precious to him. And the Lord says, don't let anybody else tell you differently, including yourself.
And Jess, I did just have a thought that popped in my head that might be a practical that really helps with that. Read everything that the bridegroom says in Song of Solomon. And before you just say, Holy Spirit, just minister to me. Just minister to me the heart of the Father. Minister to me the heart of the Lord. Read everything the bridegroom says in Song of Solomon. You can read the whole thing, the 8 or 9 chapters, but it would be even more powerful, I think, literally highlight in your Bible everything where it's the bridegroom speaking and read those things over yourself. Amen. Read those things over yourself on a daily basis. This is the sort of thing that I've done before, and I commit to that sort of thing usually for a couple months, reading a set of scriptures like that. If you do that for a couple months, make it part of your morning breakfast routine or something like that, you cannot help but just get radically transformed by God 60 days later. So I just encourage you to take the time to highlight it, to underline it, so it's real easy to find those things. Read it out loud. Don't worry if it's doing anything. It's going to do something.
And Jess, that's almost an act of submission. It's like, I am going to submit to what the Lord says about me.
Amen.
Regardless of how I feel. And I am going to bow to the definition that he places on my heart and toss anything that does not honor what the Lord has said.
I don't know if we're done or not. If you guys have another word, by all means, still go. But I just want to say something regarding the service today.
And then Don has a thing.
What's that?
His thing is about the power of receiving the prophetic word well.
Oh, good. Well, that's basically where I'm going. Okay. So you can add to it. I just want to encourage you, for those of you who came here, and maybe if there's a little bit of disappointment, like, you know, I came here to hear a teaching, and I didn't get any teaching, and because obviously we're not going to be doing one now. I want you to know I did have one. this wasn't just to make up because I didn't have one. Actually, I got these. I said, help me out, guys. I don't have any. No.
No,
not at all. I'm a little disappointed because I was excited about it, but I'll bring it next week. But I want to encourage you with something that's very real. This is what we just had happen here. If you will think about everything that you heard, the words spoken ever over every one of them, you know what all of them were? Think about what each one of those words were. What are they representing? Yes, that's where I'm going, but in particular, it's just the heart of the Father. It's the Lord's heart. That's what we've been hearing for the last 45 minutes. Realize everything that you're hearing him, that's your papa talking.
Amen.
That's his heart being, shown. And grab it. Realize that's my Father. You and I can get to know the Father so much more even today with what happened here today probably than any single teaching, unless it's teaching about the heart of the Father. But I don't even know if that could do it. This was literally hearing the voice of our Father. His heart towards all of his children. And you just think about how rich every single one of them were. It's phenomenal. That's our Father. That's his heart towards us. That's his heart towards you every single minute, every day. He loves us. Religion would say otherwise. The religion would lie to you. And the enemy, just like in the Garden of Eden, did God say that you cannot eat of every tree? You won't die. And he's just undermining the goodness of God. And so, you know, we swim in this. We swim in a world that fights against really knowing God and his goodness. I just want to encourage you, think about everything you heard, the words you heard spoken over this person and that person, and say, that's my papa, that's my papa, that's my papa, that's his heart. not just towards them, but towards me. Amen.
All right, well, before I get started, I had a word for Judd again. When people are going to see Judd in the future, it's going to be, here come the Judd. They're going to know who you are. And then I had one for Aaron back here. I know you're a salesman and you sell guns, but the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, I believe that's what it says. And you're going to be selling the word.
Come on. Amen.
That's what you're going to be doing. All right. Well, what I came up here for was Peter and Mark Crawford. These are just two examples of people speaking over me. Peter said to me up here one time, you're a seed sower. And I don't know exactly. He's something about, like, you're like the farmer spreading the seeds everywhere. You're sowing the seed. And then Mark Crawford one time up here said to me about how I was going to set people free. He said, you have this anointing over you about setting people free. And so kind of these kind of tie together. Well, just recently, I had two things that I got to do, and one of them's been working over the last 3 or 4 years to do it. And actually, the whole leadership prayed over me before I did this, like maybe 6 months before it happened, and I didn't even really know it was going to happen until that. Well, about, I think it was 2 weeks before. So I'll get to the point. I'm in a bowling league. I tried to share. There's probably 50, 60 guys. I probably try to share where I can God's love. So this year, this has been going on about 4 years. So this year I asked the two guys that are the leaders. I didn't know when I was going to ever say this, if I was going to share this with anybody, but I mean, I have with individuals, but God clearly telling me to speak this out right now, that I asked them, hey, we have a banquet at the end of the season. You mind if I say something at the end of the banquet? Well, I asked both of them, and I didn't hear anything from them. I did this like in October, and then I went to the next one in like November, and I didn't hear anything from them. And then here it is March, and the one came up to me 2 weeks before and says, hey, you still want to say something at the end of the banquet? And I was like, yes. He goes, well, you want to do it at the beginning or at the end or what? I said, you just let me, you do whatever you want me to do. You know, I'll just follow your lead. He goes, all right. So anyways, this banquet sometime is in the bar in the palace, the bowling. And sometimes it's in a room. And I didn't know where it was going to be, whether it was just going to be us or it could be us and other people. So I just went with what the Holy Spirit was sharing, you know, wanting me to do. And it was basically I get to sow a seed to lots of people all at once. And I just kind of like opened the door for them to know that if they want to know how to make this little seed grow, they can come and ask me next year at the bowling league. So basically, I got to go up at the end of the banquet, and I shared God's love. That's what I told the guys. I wanted to just share God's love. And so for 6 months, I didn't know exactly how that was going to look like, and I wasn't worrying about it. I was just letting the Lord work on me, because that's what he does through this. It's like it's really building yourself up immensely and giving you something to do for him. And so I got up there, and I started to talk, and then everybody was still talking. And so one of the guys, the leader, said, hey, shut up. Don has something to say. And I was like, oh, right. And that even gave me even more calmness. It's like, all right. So I just, first thing I did, I said, I want to talk about God's love. There's a fellow there that I made a little joke with it, kind of loosened the crowd up, and it was good. And so I quoted John 3:16-17, and then I just talked about that, how that was the Father's heart. Well, anyways, I don't have to go through everything, but I made it real short. And at the end, I just said, if you want to know anything more about this, you can always come and see me. And so that's kind of how I left it. So I got to sow a seed. So this is just very real, because I don't think I would have ever done something like that 4 years ago, or maybe not even last year. But what's been on my heart for the last couple of years to do this, but I didn't know how it was going to look or if I was going to get to do it. But I knew that the Lord will work it. But he wants you to take those words seriously that he gives you and sink them in there. And with Mark Crawford saying, you know, you can set people free. Well, it's not me. But what he's saying is that I got stuff I want you to do. And you can release. You can release the joy of my heart to other people and show them how it just sets people, it's just how I can set you, I can release the chains from you. So anyways, I'll stop there so I won't go in, you know, get any more emotional, but I wanted to say that, how important that was.
Amen.
What's that?
The second part of that word to Don is that he'll sow the seed and he'll receive, or he'll see the return on it. Amen. So we'll see the return on that. Well, amen. Bless you all. I want to release you all. Have a blessed week and blessed Sunday. God bless you. Thanks for coming today.